Good morning, guys. This will be interesting. Maybe someone from you guys needs to stand up in the middle of it and translate it, because normally I never teach in English. So be praying for me that you can can get something out of it. Yeah, honestly, when Peter asked me to share, I turned around, looked at my wife, and told her, I have to pray for those guys. They need some discernment. So, Peter, the next time you want me to pray for you, just tell me to pray and don't make me teach the Word of God to pastors. So, yeah, it was a blessing in the morning to hear from Frank. And he was sharing a victory to God's glory. And I would love to be able to stand here and share a victory with you guys, but maybe it's more a struggle I share with you. And honestly, my struggle is prayer. So I would love to stand here and just say, I'm just a great prayer warrior, and that's what I learned, and that's what I share with you now. But it's more, my prayer life is a construction site, not to call it a mess. I really like the letter of Paul to the Galatians, the part where he's teaching them or telling them that it's really foolish when they believe that they can what God began in the Spirit, like fulfill in the flesh. Does that make sense? But that's me. I tend to what God started in the Spirit. I trust my flesh, I trust myself, and try to accomplish it in my flesh. It's my sin. So I can just share something with you, what I believe God wants to teach me, and not something what I already learned. Before I came on staff at Calvary Chapel Herborn, I used to build molding injection systems. So in the morning, I just had a block of steel, and when I left in the afternoon, it had a form and a function. And now it's different. So I like to get things done. I like to check lots of things off my to-do list, and as you guys, I'm busy. Family, church, always a sermon to be prepared and to preach, always some counseling or to meet with people. I could, a long list, and we have to say no to things. And it's just easy for me to say no to my personal prayer time with the Lord. Of course, I don't say no to a prayer gathering or to pray with Benny or with whomever. Because I'm spiritual, I'm a pastor, I pray with people. But I really lack in my personal prayer time. And I think we become so dry, so powerless. Prayer is not everything, but everything is nothing without prayer. Or we are Calvary Chapel, guys, and we have a high view of the Scripture. I hope we do. I mean, I love to study the Word. I could be the whole day, I can put my nose in books and go home with a joyful heart. But I have a struggle to pray for a long time, honestly. And I believe that in our churches, we should not only display a high view of the Scriptures. Of course, we have to. Of course, that's what we want, that we stand for. But how is a high view of prayer displayed in your church? How is the high view of prayer displayed in my church? Please open up your Bibles in Matthew chapter 6. I want to make some comments on the Lord's Prayer. I have neglected this prayer for a long time because I saw that's only for the people who babble to God, you know. I can use my own words. So all those Lutherans at church, they just bubble it down again and again and again. But it is just not not good when I, because someone else is using it in a bad way, am not receiving this prayer if I don't let our Lord teach me to pray. And that's his heart behind this prayer. You know, Jesus, from what I read in the Gospels, did never make a sermon workshop with his disciples, but he taught his disciples how to pray with this prayer. So where do you go with your stress, with your doubt, with your questions? When you feel weak, when you are worried, where do you go to receive wisdom, to receive guidance? We're invited to his throne. Let's pray together. Lord, I need you, we need you. And we praise you for your word, and we just ask that you may teach us to pray through your word. Give us soft hearts. Give us a passion for prayer. May we rejoice about the privilege that we are able to come towards your Father, Jesus, in your name. Let your will be done. And help me, Lord, help me. Amen. Matthew chapter 6, we start reading God's word in verse 5. And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street's corner, that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. I guess before Jesus can teach me to pray, he has to teach me how not to pray. And the first trap is hypocrisy. When I come before the Lord to pray, why do I pray? Do I go there to like polish up my appearance? Is it more about image cultivation, or do I go there to cultivate my relationship with him? Why do I pray? Do you think that's kind of a performance for God, and then we hope we can say and do things that will impress him or our neighbor? I think those guys prayed not to be heard by God, not to pour out their heart before God, but to be seen by people, to be recognized as those spiritual guys, those guys who love God. I know I'm really stupid when I try to impress God with some numbers, or with my methods, or with my thoughts. I need those times. Jesus is explaining, when you pray, go into your room, shut the door. I need those times with the Lord so much. Where my cell phone is far away, where there's no distraction, where it's just before the Lord. Where it's not, you know, I check those things off my list. It's so easy to be so busy with things. And I think, oh, that's more important to plan this or do this. But it's so much more important that we never skip prayer, but that we go into our private room, go look for silence and solitude. Just say no to everything else and just be there with our Lord. That we pour out honestly our heart and that we receive from him. I had to learn this in my marriage quite a while ago, that we at least need one date night per week. We try to have some nice food, some nice cheese, and just really fellowship. And there's nothing, there's no TV, nothing else. We just talk to each other and share how we feel right now, also concerning our relationship, just to be honest, just to make compliments at each other, and also to hear how we hurt each other. And I think that's also should be applied to our relationship to our Lord. Every relationship just needs time, needs openness. We have to be honest. We have to be broken before the Lord and just tell Him how we feel. Not that He really hurts us, but sometimes things which happen in our lives hurt, and it's good to tell Him. It's really important to tell Him. But I don't have to tell you, because you're a pastor and you know already, and you're living it. Verse 7. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. That's trap number 2, empty repetitions. And they again and again and again do or say the same things in order that their God may fulfill their will. And when I pray, I sometimes do the same thing. I exactly know what God is supposed to do. I exactly know what's right, and I just want God to take care of it in my way. So much wisdom in me, wow. I just want my desires to be fulfilled. But there's so much wisdom in those words. Do not be like them, for your Father. Like they worship a dead God. But we are sons, we are children of a loving Father. And it's just so much different than to bow before a dead God or to have a relationship to a loving Father, to a gracious Father, to an all-knowing Father, to a God who is for us. So why do we in any way think we can impress Him with something or that we have a right for something? How could we? This helps us to pray just trustingly to a loving Father, all wise. That's why we don't try to manipulate Him with something we do or say. But we know to pray is just to have fellowship with Him. So true prayer is about God, it's not about us. But my prayer tends to be about me, about my will. About my kingdom, what I need to build a bigger church to make myself a name. Verse 9, pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Our Father in heaven. I guess first we should realize whom we are talking to and in what relationship we are with Him. Maybe we are worried or stressed, something going on with our marriage, with our church, something where we realize this is beyond our ability. And we don't come as pastors. We just come as children to our Abba, to our Father. We don't come as pastors, just as children. And if we are not His children, and if we are not coming as children, I think we should not have this head as a pastor. Or? So we are not any more worried or stressed when we recognize that's our Father. He's our Abba. You know, Abba is children's language, and for many contemporaries from Jesus, it just sounded really disrespectful to call God Abba. How dare you? How can you call God Abba? But he is inviting us to talk to him, to recognize him as Abba Father. And he's our Father in heaven. So he's not just loving us, but he's in heaven. I guess that's not only describing the place where he is, but it's more describing the power he has. So we are not just praying to someone who is a loving father, but we are also praying to someone who is able to accomplish everything what needs to be accomplished. To take care of a circumstance, doesn't matter how small or how big it may be. I think there is so much comfort in this one word, Father. I think when we have to like describe the history of redemption in one word, it's just Father. Beautiful. I have 4 children, 2 boys and 2 girls. I enjoy being a daddy, most of the times at least, most of the times. So 10 years old, 8 years old, 3 years old, and 10 months old. And it's an interesting time, yeah. I really enjoy when my children are honest to me. I mean, it's sometimes messy when they are honest, but at least they are honest. Some weeks ago, my oldest son was not honest, and I realized how this feels, what it makes to my heart. And I recognize I have to be honest before my father. I'm invited to be honest. It's just so cheesy if we are not honest before God, or he sees our hearts. He knows what we really think, what we are really about, what our heart beats for. He knows what we long for. He knows what we think are problems, and he sees the real problem. So I think it's really comforting to know our Father in heaven. And this also makes clear the direction of our prayer. So when we pray, we are not preaching to our congregation. And we also don't pray, preach to our wives and tell them what we think she needs to hear, or do it with other people. We pray to our Father in heaven. We don't give instructions to other people, to brothers and sisters, where we are too scared of doing it face to face or in a sermon. May your name be kept holy. That's a big challenge for us, or we are pastors, and people, they look at us, and it's not that we always live in a way that we keep his name holy. So that's basically also that we confess the first need. We need his help. That we live in a way that his name is honored and not dishonored. But it's more a prayer, like, God, keep us from bringing dishonor to your name. It's a longing for Christ likeness. We want to be more like him. That's what the world needs. They don't need more from us. They need more from Jesus. I hope we always have a desire to bring glory to his name. Not a desire just to make our name more famous or make a name for ourselves. Is God more important for you than your name? Or are you fighting for your name? Are you hurt because your name is being used in a bad way? Your kingdom come. The kingdom of God is already here, but not yet. So we pray, that we experience his fulfillment and we also the fulfillment of his kingdom. And we also trust that his will be ultimately fulfilled, that his kingdom will come, that his will be done. So that's also something where we are reminded about our future. And this brings hope in us, or we are not anymore just looking towards us, our abilities, our struggles, but we know about the glorious future. But sometimes I just tend to be about my kingdom. I think about people, building, money, resources. Lord, just give me more to build my kingdom. We long for the future, peace for the future, justice as a blessing. And we trust and we rest in the truth that his kingdom will be completed, that he's coming back. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We can pray this prayer because we know he's a merciful Abba, merciful Father. That's why we can trust him, because he's loving and he knows what he's doing a lot better than we do. He is good and trustworthy. Romans 12:2, we read that his will is which is good, pleasing, and perfect. And I had to think about the Garden of Gethsemane. This is how you say it. Yeah, Gethsemane. Jesus prayed, your will be done. He was willing to pray this prayer. He's never asking something from us what he was not willing to do by himself. Your will be done. And when we look at Jesus, it can mean that there are sufferings ahead of us, that it's not an easy, joyful way we have to go. But are we resting in it, that God is in it, that his will is just what we are supposed to live by, to walk on? Currently, we are building a new sanctuary, and it's a perfect timing. Of course, you know, all the people have lots of money because everyone has a good and safe job, basically. And it's so easy to buy all the materials, and I'm just kidding, you know. So sometimes it's difficult, it's frustrating. But am I just resting in God's will? Am I just resting in his God's will? Just trusting that his will is done, doing what I can, but resting in his will. It's so wonderful that one day his will be done on earth like in heaven. So the special thing about heaven is that, of course, our Savior, our Jesus is there, and we'll worship him. It means that no one is disobedient. Everyone is just enjoying that his will is done and is enjoying doing his will. What a wonderful truth. I also thought it's interesting what Martin Luther says about it. He wrote down, give us grace to bear sickness, poverty, shame, weakness, and to know that you are God. I think we also need God's grace to be able to endure sickness, poverty, suffering, because it's God's will to crucify our will. I honestly, how will my will die if I always get it, if I always have it easy? A while ago I thought, why does God want me to pray to him that his will may be done? He's God. He's able to fulfill his will, or isn't he? My little daughter Ella, she's 3.5 years old, she loves to help me. And it's so important that I let her help me. So sometimes we go out and I get a huge bag with firewood and carry it inside. And she was a huge smile on her face and really proud because she can help daddy. That's just this one piece of firewood. And on the way in, you know, she's losing all the dust of it. And I have to clean up after her. So it was not a huge help for me. And I could have said, no, I will just do it. You know, you are not able to. But it's just so important for the relationship of Ella and myself that I let her help me. And it's fun. So I know I'm Ella. And the Lord needs to clean up after me. And I'm just in it because He wants to have a deeper relationship with me. His will be done. Prayer is not a magic way that we get our will, that our will is done. Prayer is more that we open up our hearts, that He can like impart His will into our hearts, that He can show us His heart. But I sometimes when I pray, I'm telling God, hey, move your hands. So I'm searching His hands and I'm not searching His face. But I'm invited to search His face, to bow my knees, to be still and to be changed by Him. And to be formed in the sense that I'm willing to accept His will and follow His will. I think when we really pray in a biblical way, we get to know God better and we learn to treat Him as God. Of course, I have no clue how your spiritual life is right now. But if you're anything like me, you experience temptation, you experience discouragement. And I think one main reason for spiritual discouragement is because we are often listening to our own soul. We are listening to our own self. And it's often not pretty nice what my own soul is preaching me. That's unrighteous. You deserve something better. I always deserve something better, guys. Why is this? Why is this happening? Why is this not happening? And I have to preach back to my own soul and make it shut up oftentimes. And I love the Psalms because they are so honest. Like when you look at Psalm 42 or 43, 103, they are honest before the Lord. But they also learn to preach to their own soul. And after half of this prayer, after half of the Lord's prayer, I think we preached to our own soul. Because we did not start with our wish list. We did not start our prayer to tell God to this. And then everything is fine. And I joyfully continue in the ministry. But this way, we preach to our own soul. Our Father in heaven. It's about your will. It's about your kingdom. It's not about me. So my eyes are not anymore about on my will and on my kingdom and on myself, but my eyes are lifted up to Abba, Father. It's so important for my soul. It's so important for me. All those requests, they are all about God. So three first requests. And I think only if He gets the first place, everything else in our lives can get the right place. Then we everything can see more through His eyes or in His light and not through our blurry eyes. verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's pretty interesting. First, give us this day our daily bread. Like we tell him our present needs. Afterwards, we talk to him about our past, about our failures, where we need forgiveness. And then we pray about the topic of temptation. So that's the future. So we give everything in his hands. So material, spiritual, moral, every area in our lives. Past, present, future. We give him the whole thing. Give us this day our daily bread. So prayer is for our needs. It's not for our creed. And we also rest in the fact that he's not only the creator, but also the sustainer of our life. We know we need everything from him. We are never experienced enough or wise enough. We never have it really together. We always need him, basically. So, and it's so nice to remember he's not only the finisher, he's not only the author, but he's also the finisher of our faith. And we know we depend on him, and he is there for us. We rest in this truth that he is there for us. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Verse 14, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. I think with this petition we admit that we depend on God's grace. We depend on God's grace, and his grace and mercy are there for us. And that's our heart, or that we direct the attention of people to God's grace. So if we want to direct the attention of people to God's grace, we need to know God's grace. Do you know God's grace? Is this something what you experience each day? I ask myself if we as a church really display a gospel culture. In the sense, our churches the safest places to confess sin? Or are they the places where we usually wear a mask? And I don't mean it in the, I don't know, now it's all COVID and messed up. But like a mask to my marriage is great, I love the Lord, everything nice, I'm doing perfect. I don't know, maybe it's just a mentality in Germany, in our area, that we try to show off that everything is nice, no weaknesses in our lives. Or are our churches, or do they display a gospel culture in the sense that that's the safest place to confess sin? There are brothers and sisters where I can confess sin. Is it humbling for you to confess sin? It's so important that we know each day on a daily basis we need to receive God's grace. It's such a wonderful exchange, isn't it? We give him our mess and he's giving us grace. Normally when I exchange something, I hope, you know, I'm better afterwards. So, but God is gracious. We give him our failures and we receive his grace. And if we are recipients of his grace, we are willing to forgive other people. It's always a joy to forgive other people, isn't it? It's sometimes so hard. Sometimes we are hurt. Like a while ago, someone who used to be a close friend left the church, turned his back, is really hurt, saying lots of things. And I'm hurt. And when I'm hurt, I don't want to forgive this person. I celebrate a self-pity party and he's so wrong and start to get into my flesh. And I have to fight in prayer. I have to preach to my own soul. God is willing to forgive me. How could I not forgive this person? It's tough. It's not easy. I have to do it again because it pops up. And then I have to preach to my soul. I have to go on my knees because I don't want to be a recipient of God's grace. I want to have it together. I'm a strong guy and I have it together. Silly, silly, silly. What did it cost God to be able to forgive us? If we know what it cost God to forgive us, we are more willing to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Wealth, power, recognition, this all can be a temptation because we don't need God, or we have everything. I'm a great guy, I have it together, I have everything, so I don't need God. Poverty, when I'm looked down at, tribulation, can be that we despair, that we give up hope. Everything can be a temptation. Finances, sexuality, pride, everything can be a temptation. Jerry, thanks for sharing, giving us this word. And God is often so gracious, so patient to point out the sin in our lives. And if you know what he's pointing out in your life, please confess it. Go to someone. Go to a friend. Confess it. We don't need more scandals. The verse we just read is a request. But I think with this request, we also remember that Jesus has defeated the devil, death, and sin. Yes, it's a spiritual battle. We are in it, but Jesus won. We heard so many truths about testing, and I don't like to be tested. You know, when someone wants to stick the thing in my nose, they just... But if Jesus wants to test me, I'm like, Jonah. I don't want it. I don't like it. But it's so important. Satan wants to use a temptation to ruin our lives. And Jesus will test our faith. We still know that he's God. There's a way around. You don't have to say yes to sin. And to close up, I would like to read Hebrews 7, verse 25. Consequently, he is able to save the uttermost, those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. I really love it. I really love it that Jesus makes intercession for them. When? Always. Since he always lives to make intercession for them. I love the truth that he is praying for us right now. And I think in a certain sense he is praying silently for us. He is showing his wounds to his Father. And we are righteous through his wounds, through his blood. We are recipients of his grace. And we should stay recipients of his grace. So let's be honest in prayer. Focus on truth about Jesus. Make our prayer about him. Preach to our own soul truth, his word, and worship him. Our Father, we just pray that we all draw near to you in prayer on a regular basis, that we make it a priority, that it's our joy, that we are able only because of you to enter heaven, stand before your throne, and be honest, broken, open before you. Help us to focus on you, that we are all about you, about your will, about your kingdom. Lord, we want to be faithful in prayer. Lord, send your Spirit that our churches may grow in prayer, that we be more known for prayer. Not to be known for something, but Lord, we easily can focus on so many things, but Lord, we want to be about you. We want to have a closer relationship with you. We want to remember truth in prayer, that you are our Father in heaven. Help us to rest in this truth, that we are not anymore worried and stressed, or and break us where we are all about us, where we think our will needs to be done. Help us to bow down before you and acknowledge that your will is perfect. Thanks for being loving and patient with us. Amen.